Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and again, we're glad to have you join us for this edition of Wake Up Call. This is post-election. We're recording on Thursday evening. Election was Tuesday, and they're still compiling some of the votes, and we don't have final tallies on everything. But we're going to go over what we do know and share it with you. And when I say we, tonight we have Melissa Potter.
Hello.
We have Diane Rufino.
Hello.
And there's moi. So we are going to...
And we got the cats.
The cats are prowling around, yes.
Yeah, they're supervising.
We are going to jump right into some statistics here in the 2022 statewide primary election turnout. And again, it was a little better than it's been in the past, but it's still pretty dismal. 22 primary, there were 7,236,469 eligible voters, but there were only approximately 1.4 million votes cast. So how do you account for the other 6 million? What were they doing?
What percentage is that?
Approximately 20%.
Oh,
20% turnout.
That's beyond dismal.
It is beyond dismal.
It's disappointing. It's very disappointing.
Folks, I don't think a lot of people realize just how important it is that they participate in this process. I'll give you an example. Right here in Craven County, we have a race that was won so far. There's still some tallying to go on, but so far it was won by one vote.
One vote.
One vote.
It's in the county compass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know. Your vote does.
And then afterwards, you hear people, you know, at the deli store or, you know, the grocery store. And can you believe that one vote? I wish I'd gone and vote. You know what? I wish you would have too.
Yeah.
I mean, and think about it as a business. You know, if this, you're looking at this country as a business. 20% rating is what we get in the voting area, right? Any business that got 20% in any area, your business is going under.
Yeah, you're not doing something right.
You're not doing something right. And you guys, you cannot complain about this country, which everyone does, about it's not doing this, it's not doing that, and we need to go back to this or go do this. If you didn't vote, which apparently a lot of you didn't.
Right. Well, we were discussing earlier, I'm surprised at how many people, me being a judge at the poll, I have to interact with them, and how many of them don't even know what a primary is? They don't understand why the candidate they want to vote for is not on the ballot. Well, he will be, or she will be, in November in the general election, and whoever their opponent is in the other party that wins the primary will be their opponent in the general election. But they don't understand that. And some of them have been voting for years and years and years.
Well, the primary is actually really important. It's to determine which of the candidates will be on the ballot in November for each party, you know, for the main election.
Right.
So that's our, I think primary is almost more important than the real election, because this is where you get the chance to pick the best candidate.
Well, like one race, I think we had for Senate, was it 14 or 17 candidates in that one?
Yeah, 14 to 17. It was something crazy. There was a lot. And you just kind of have to think of it like a competition, you know, like the NFC and the AFC.
Yeah.
And all of those games, they all play in the same conference, just like all of the Republicans play in the same field and all the Democrats play in the same field. And in the primary, the best one from each field goes to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And that's your general. And that's the easiest way to think of it today, is a basic explanation.
You have to do your homework. when you, especially when you got like 14 candidates for one position.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Because I'll be honest with you, I saw three or four that I thought were good choices, you know. Mm-hmm. But you have to narrow it down. Mm-hmm. Only one can win.
Right.
So you have to look at if they're an incumbent. You have to look at their voting record, their past history. If they're not, you got to look at their job experience or, you know.
You got to stalk their social media.
Yeah.
Well, if I can recommend to all you voters out there, if you want to know how well, how conservative a candidate, an official is in their, you know, in their office, I suggest going to the John Birch Society. They have a report card. And yeah, I just think they do the best job of assessing
the
performance of an official.
Yeah, there's no excuse for not being able to gather the information to vet a candidate because there, John Birch Society, there's the iVoter Guide, there's a number of conservative groups.
Yeah, and there's
John Locke Foundation.
Yeah,
John,
and there's church organizations. That
yeah, American Family Association. Yeah. They all put out, and they rate them.
Yeah.
The one problem I had is you look and you got three or four candidates there, and you look at their conservative rating, and they're all rated the same.
Yeah.
Okay, now you're putting on this back on me. Yeah. I got to make a choice, and you didn't make it real easy on me.
Well, and also that, you know, these people will go out, they want to talk to you. If they don't want to talk to you, if they're not going to meetings, you know, civic meetings or town halls or, you know, if they're not putting out YouTube videos of their platform and opening themselves up to questions, you got a problem. You know, that's not your candidate. But if you go to their website or their Facebook page, they'll tell you, hey, I'm going to be in this city. I'm going to be in this, you know, and they will go around. We were talking about the other day how Mark Robinson, you told me the first time you ever met him was this little old.
It was an air conditioning installation repair shop.
In Trenton.
Trenton.
Little old Trenton, you know. And that's
the
first time he met. And he was going all over to get out there and meet people.
He went from one end of the state to the other.
In every little town in between.
Yep.
And that's the kind of, you know, for me, that person, that being personable and being able to ask the questions. And, you know, I think our sheriff is the same way. He's a very approachable, personable guy, and he will answer any of your questions. Yeah. But, you know, so there are those candidates out there. You can talk to them and get to know them. You just have to take the time to do it. And if you don't have time to go over and meet all these people, they're online. I guarantee you someone recorded it.
Right. And CCTA, one of our purposes, what we do, is we will vet and we will hold candidate forms. Now, we don't do it for the primary, but we will, prior to the general election, we'll have a candidate form. And you'll be able to come and hear them all. They will all be asked the same questions. And you can see how they handle themselves and what their answers are. And then from that, you can hold whoever gets elected accountable and say, wait a minute. You stood in front of a whole auditorium full of people and you said this. Now, when are you going to live up to it? So accountability is also part of it. Well, let's move on to some other statistics here, and we're still talking about the 2022 primary that was held on Tuesday, and we're looking at the absentee by mail ballots. That was approximately 2%. Now, absentee by mail and one-stop early voting, it refers to ballots that are cast by mail, and as well as those that are cast in person during the one-stop early voting period. And the one-stop early voting period saw approximately 39% of the votes. So 39%.
39% of the 20%.
Of the 20%.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So it's
one-stop early vote?
Right.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, yeah.
All right. And in person on election day, the remaining 59%.
Good. Okay.
Provisional ballots.
Now, proves people want to vote on election day.
Yeah. The provisional ballots. Now, provisional ballots are you go into polls, you give them your name and address, and for whatever reason you don't show up in the system. Maybe you didn't vote recently and you fell off the rolls for whatever reason, or You know, a lot of people have trouble. They register with DMV when they get their license, and there's, all of that doesn't always get transferred. And so you don't show up, so you can't have a regular ballot and vote at that point in time. But you can vote provisional. Mm-hmm. You'll go to the help desk, and they'll fill out the paperwork for you, and you can vote your ballot provisionally. And what happens then is the Board of Elections goes through and looks at each one of those provisionals and why you had to vote provisional, and see if it is legitimate that you should have been allowed to vote, but, you know, because of the circumstances, that couldn't happen. So that's what the provisional ballots are all about, and that was less than 1%. There wasn't a whole lot of provisional ballots. I'll have to say, here in Craven County, our Board of Elections has a really efficient staff and system in place. Over the years that I've been serving as a judge, I've seen them make great improvements in the process and the way things are done, and it really helps on election day. So those are your 2022 statewide primary voting methods. And
Rick, can I make a comment?
Sure.
Anybody that's curious about how the Board of Elections proceeds, how they get the votes, and how they tabulate them, how they convey them, and, you know, transfer them and stuff like that, just go to the Board of Elections office and say, "I'd like, can you go through, walk me through how you're gonna, what you do for the election season?" And they'll, I did that. And I asked, first of all, I asked about election law, and our director says, "Oh, it's a lot. There's a whole book on election law from the state." And he goes, "You're welcome to go through it." And he goes, "But it's a lot." But he went, and it took him about an hour and a half. But he showed me and explained to me everything that the Pitt County Board of Elections does, you know, prior to election.
Right.
During election, the whole early voting, and then on election day. And he assured me that we don't use the Dominion, machine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he assured me that they double-check everything, and all the numbers always line up. He just couldn't confirm that whatever he sends to the state Board of Elections is the same data as what he submitted.
I want everybody to understand also, you can go to the North Carolina State Board of Elections website, and that is NCSBE, North Carolina State Board of Elections, NCSBE.gov, and there you can get all the information. It's all public information. It's all right there. That's where I'm pulling these numbers from now. The next one on the list is daily absentee reports. Very detailed. You click on it, it opens up, and it has it for every day, starting with April the 18th. Daily reports on the status of absentee ballots. And when you open up the report, you get overall statistics, total absentee ballots cast, total registered voters, turnout percentage. And it goes down registered voters by party, ballots cast by party, registered voters by race, ballots cast by race. So you can get a real good picture of the whole election scenario there by gender. Guys, I'm going to tell you, the gals are out performing you on election day. You need to get down there. Don't just send your wife or your girlfriend to vote. You need to go too. And there was a 500,000 undesignated by gender. So anyway, my whole point here is information's out there, and then it's broken down by county. And by each county, you get the Democratic ballot, how many there were there, Republican ballot, how many, and nonpartisan ballots, how many. So if you wonder what happened in the election, the information's out there. You just got to put forth the effort to go to the North Carolina State Board of Elections website, and it's all there. The next thing down the list here is one-stop early voting statistics. And the 2022 primary Democratic ballots, there were 279,775 early voters. There was 277,656 Republican ballot early voters. And there was 1,560 nonpartisan ballots, for a total of 558,987 early votes. So those are statistics that we're looking at, and we're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors. When we come back, we hope you'll feel refreshed and ready to get into the next part of this.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. All right, we're going to run on down the list of the election, the candidates and all, and try to see. Now, remember, all this is not final, but it gives you a good indication. We have the U.S. Senate Democrat primary, and the name on the ballot for that, Sherry Beasley, was the winner with 497,367, which was 81%. So I think you can feel safe in saying that she won that race. There were 10 other candidates in that race. So for her to get 81% and have 10 other candidates there, that's a pretty good indicator. The next race, U.S. Senate, Republicans. Your winner on that one was Ted Budd with 445,250, which was 58.6%. And the next closest in second place was Pat McCrory with 24.59%. And then it jumps down to Mark Walker down at 9%. And all the rest of them, you had Eastman was at 2.9%, and all the rest of them were less than a percent.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
So, That was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. That was 14 candidates in that race. And those were the results. Now, U.S. House of Representatives District 1, winner there, Democrat primary, was Don Davis, who had 63.18%. And there were three other candidates there. Erica Smith came in second with 31%. U.S. House of Representatives District 1 Republican ballot. You had first place winner Sandy Smith with 31.4%. And Sandy Robertson close behind her with 26.75%. There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 other candidates.
They missed the recount.
Yeah.
If it was a little bit closer, they would have to have had a recount.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's 50% plus one.
Well, you have to be declared a winner, you have to win 50% plus one. If you do not meet that criteria, then there can be a runoff. Am I missing anything else, or is that?
I don't really know. I don't really know.
Yeah,
well, I think you're pretty close there.
No, well, I recently looked it up, so okay. I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss something else. It is to be the victor, 50% plus one. So in a race where, like, you know, that the Sandy Smith race, I mean, they can have a runoff.
I just know they barely missed it.
Huh.
Yeah. That's
Then we're missing some criteria there.
Well, but in a race, like if there's 11 candidates, no one's going to get 50%.
You're right.
Right?
Right. So maybe it does have to do with the percentage of candidates.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to jump on down. House of Representatives District 2, Republican ballot. You had Christine Villaverde, 55.16%. District 3, Democratic candidates. You had Barbara Gaskins, the winner, at 80.43%. So she clearly won that race. U.S. House of Representatives District 3. You had Greg Murphy,
Republican,
75.72%. That was the Republican primary vote. Tony Calden, his closest competitor, with 14.11%. There were three other.
Not very close.
No, mm-mm. No. Of course, Murphy was the incumbent and has a record there. And the
other two guys in the race were newcomers.
Yep, first timers.
No politicians. Right. Yeah.
House of Representatives District 4 Democrat primary. Valerie P. Foshi with 46.15%, and Nita Allum, runner up there, at 36.92%. And then there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 other. In there, Clay Aiken ran again and only got 7.
He's still running?
Yeah.
How did I miss that?
I saw that when I was looking at the results.
He got what percent?
7.1%.
Wow.
Okay, you got the House of Representatives District 4 Republican ballot. You had two candidates there, and Courtney Giles was the winner at 64.59%. And House of
Democrat or Republican?
That was Republican. Okay. House of Representatives, District 5, Republican ballot. You had Virginia Fox, one with 76.6%. She only had one competitor there. And down to U.S. House of Representatives, District 6, Republican primary. You had Christine Castelli, the winner, with 36.2%. Lee Haywood came in second with 33.7%, and then you had five other candidates on the ballot. U.S. House of Representatives, District 7 Democrat ballot, you had Charles Graham winning at 31.22%. Number two was Evans at 29.39%, and Steve Miller at 23.27%. So that was a three-way pretty close race.
That's very close, yes.
Yeah. U.S. House of Representatives District 7 Republican ballot. David Rouser won that one at 79.21%.
Not a close one.
You're right. Beckwith only got 20% of the vote. U.S. House of Representatives District 9. You have Richard Hudson was the winner at 79.24%. And U.S. House of Representatives District 10, Democrat ballot. You got Gannett, 77.43% as the winner. And District 10 Republican ballot, you had Patrick McHenry, 68%. District 11 Democrat, Jasmine Ferrara, she was the winner at 59%. And District 11 Republican, Chuck Edwards, at 33.41%. So, folks, there's a lot more of them in here. I'm not going to hit on any more of them, but I think you get the point there. There were quite a number of candidates out there, and a lot of research needed to be done. Some of the races were extremely close, and some of them they weren't close at all. So that's your report on the U.S. federal elections here in North Carolina, the federal offices. And now let's look at some of the county stuff. Cross County local? No. We want to go up here to Craven County.
Yeah, let's start with Craven.
Yep, we got Craven County, and we'll look at all contests. And Melissa, why don't you take this one?
All right, let's see here. We've already done the whole Sherry Beasley thing, so we know that she definitely won by 81.5%. Let's go up to the U.S. Senate. Well, we've already gone here. You didn't get me up to the right place. We did all the House of Representatives.
Well, they were on the Craven County ballot.
Let's keep on going. We got the NC Court of Appeals. Michael Stading, he won by 71.9%. So that was a pretty good one. In the District 13 representative, we do have, is this updated? Pete Benton at 65%. So Les Carnes at 29%.
Do what?
Wow. This is last count updated. Now this says May 17th.
That was the primary. That was Tuesday.
Oh, last county. Duh. So, wow. All right. So we've got that. Next we have Craven County Board of Commissions District 3, Beatrice Smith. She's a Democrat, won at 63%, beating out Dorothea White. The Craven County Board of Commissioners District 4 have E.T. Mitchell at 63%, beating out Dana Outlaw, the mayor, at 37%. Craven County Board of Commissioners District 5, Democrat. McCabe will be in again at 66%. And then we have a little bit of an upset in the Board of Education District 4. We did have Genovese, and he actually won by 54%, but he is not eligible to win because he is a government employee.
Right. He was not aware of the Hatch Act when he...
So that does violate the Hatch Act. So he will not be able to accept that. So now the GOP must choose who they want to put in there, find a candidate and put that in there. Sharon Bakakis did come in at 45.8%. For Board of Education District 6, we've got Kitzinger. She won at 60% against Darby. For the city, this is a big one, guys. City of New Bern, this is one we're talking about. Mayor, one vote. 46.15% to 46.13%, with Toussaint Summers leading by one vote over Jeffrey Odom. Tim Harris came in just at 5%, Oglesby 2%. So, you know, guys, that's why this voting's important. Whoops, I clicked a button and I need to go back. let me see here. All right. So, you know, that's a shame with that. We then have, it goes into all of our different wards. So Ward 1, you will continue to have Sabrina Bangle. She's at 42%, but came in very close. Rick Prill at 39.8%. In Ward 2, Jamisha Harris is out. She came in third place. We got Janelle Reddick is leading the pack right now with 38.6. Hazel Royal at 34.7. So, you know, we got about 17 votes separating them two. So either one of those. Bobby Astor, he will be remaining. And that is your Ward 3. We got Ward 4, Johnny Ray Kinsey will remain. Ward 5, Barbara Best. Ward 6, we did have between Bob Brinson and Travis Oakley. Bob Brinson came in at 61%, beating Oakley at 38%. So that's it, guys. That's all of your election results that we have. And, you know, are you guys checking up on that one?
I'm looking for it.
Yeah, but
I want to go back to that District 4 school board thing. Folks, the way that process works, since he won the election but was ineligible because of the Hatch Act, what happens now is the GOP executive committee will select and vote on a candidate to take his place. The opponent doesn't automatically, it doesn't default to her.
I do have questions about that, because isn't she a Republican as well? Why would it not automatic default?
No, that's just the way the law is. I mean, the
GOP chooses
could,
her.
They could do that.
Okay.
I mean, but they can also choose somebody else.
And that person doesn't have to campaign or anything.
No.
They automatically are set into that seat.
Right.
Okay.
They automatically take that seat.
So. Okay.
Anyway.
So, and that was in which district was that?
District 4.
District 4. So that's a Trent Woods area. So you guys listen out there, you've ever had an urge to get on that school board and make sure that your kids are learning the right thing, you know what? You need to contact Sarah at the GOP headquarters, Sarah Benichek, and, you know, go in and or give her a call. Talk to her. Let her know you're interested. Let her know what you want, your passion is for. Now's your chance. Get on the list.
Yeah, guys, school board is so important.
So important.
Yeah, this is like the fight of our time is for the heart and soul of our children.
Okay.
It all starts in the school.
Yeah.
It all starts in the school. Anything that you're complaining about that's happening nationally,
yeah,
it started in your lowly local public school. I don't mean lowly,
but it's all
your local
down.
Public school.
But it's all passed down from the state board of education.
Right.
So that's our issue. Our issue is with the State Board of Education and with Governor Cooper's picks.
And the people who are in the State Board right now, you know, they are this last generation.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say it, when they took God out.
Oh, I know.
When they took God out of everything, you know, it just...
We got to pay the consequences.
That's right.
That's what we're doing. Right. We're suffering the consequences.
All right.
Now, those people that they were taught those types of things, that's what they know, and that's what they're just pushing further extreme. So,
it has nothing to do with an honest, basic education.
You're right. Absolutely.
Right. You made an honest mistake.
I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, statewide, Celeste Carnes won with 54.91%, and Pete Benton came in second with 34.86%. You're looking at county. In Craven County, he won.
Oh, I did.
Yeah. So that's the Craven County numbers. Unfortunately, he didn't repeat that across all the counties, unfortunately for him.
You're absolutely right.
So those are the counties.
I hope I didn't get anyone else wrong.
Well, only the state offices. If your county offices are going to be just Craven County, but the state officials were also on the county ballot, and that's what you were seeing there.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think E70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of Newbern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols. Buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Pond, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East Newbern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in Newbern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
How would you like to buy a present, be inspired, and have your spirits lifted? It's easy. Just visit Carolina Creations at 317 Pollock Street in downtown Newbern. You'll find an amazing array of gallery-worthy paintings, one-of-a-kind jewelry, pottery, glassware, greeting cards, personal adornments, and all sorts of temptations. Everything is displayed to please the eye. Prices run the gamut from a few dollars to a few thousand dollars. Many items are by local artists and artisans. Carolina Creations has been voted Best Gallery, Best Gift Shop, and Best Jewelry Store by the Sun Journal's readers. Stop in and see why. The friendly, knowledgeable staff will let you browse to your heart's content or swing into helpful mode if that's needed. You'll enjoy a visit to Carolina Creations. That's a promise.
All right. Well, folks, I hope you understand a little bit more about what happened in the election there and how important it is for you to participate. You know, we've shown you several races that were just a few percentage points apart, and one race it was one vote, and you could have made a difference.
Yeah.
You could have made a difference. Your vote could be the one that made the difference in one party over the other taking that seat. And if you're sitting back waiting for somebody else to do it, that's why we're where we're at today. And hopefully you'll listen to what we had to say today. And come November, you will go to the polls, exercise your right that many a soul has give up their life for.
That's right.
For your right
yep.
to go
yep.
and cast that ballot.
The right that sets us apart from so many yeah. different countries.
All the other countries.
Yeah.
We are the
right.
We're the only country in the world that could have done what we've done.
Yeah.
And we did that because of God
yeah.
and His guidance. And this country being founded on His principles, Judeo-Christian principles, our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, all our Bill of Rights, all of it came from God. Our rights are God-given rights. Government doesn't give you rights. Government is there to protect your rights and
right.
to ensure Secure. Your rights.
Yep. Right.
And they're not doing that anymore.
But everybody out there, this voting is your way to have a say in your government. And that's what it's all about, is if you want your rights protected, if you want policies that that are sound and they're conservative, they're not unconstitutional, get involved, vote responsibly, vote with knowledge, and do the right thing. This is your voice. This is how you have a say in your government.
And
we all complain about government, but 20% coming out to exercise
yeah.
their voice.
Right.
It's pathetic.
And Diane's right. This is the way you exercise your voice. You do it at the polls. Because if you wait till they're elected and they're sitting up there on that bench or wherever they're at, yeah, they're not going to listen to your voice anymore. You've already put them in power. They're going to do it their way.
Yeah, and once they're in, it's hard to get them out.
And think about some of the main issues that, you know, what's the biggest issue that's up right now? Roe v. Wade, abortion, right?
And that's not even a federal issue, you know?
Yeah, right. That's state rights. Yeah.
But, you know, what our country is thinking about right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is a big issue that's on everyone's mind. And we also have inflation, right? A lot of people were thinking about inflation and gas prices when they got up there. Mm-hmm. So these are big things that do
affect election integrity,
life, right?
Yeah.
If you didn't vote and someone went up there that, you know, is pro-abortion and you're pro-life, okay, you're not going to change their mind no matter how many letters you write. That's why it's so important for you to be educated about who you are voting for and what their beliefs are. And I also want to say real quick, when they say bring a friend to vote, I mean, we make it a family thing. We've got six, seven people down there
right,
that go voting. Look at this mayor race. Two votes. Yeah. You know, whether you were for Summers or at least Summers could have gotten ahead, you know, and been a big winner, or you could have had Odom, you know, but if you had brought a friend, if each person brought one friend, right? Yeah. Call your neighbors. Just, you don't have to talk politics. Just, hey, just want to make sure you're voting today.
We make it a fun day. So we vote, then we go for pizza, or maybe then we plan to go out, you know, and maybe see a movie that night. It's a big thing for us.
That's right. So y'all go vote, and you can have pizza with Diane and go out for a movie afterwards. And
all right, for the general coming up.
It's definitely one of the most important rights you have. Please exercise it in the upcoming general election.
And do it responsibly.
Yes. We're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Mike, isn't he?
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we've been talking about the 2022 primary elections that were held on Tuesday, the 17th of May. And we've been going over some of the statistics for you. And again, you can go to ncsbe.gov. That's the North Carolina State Board of Elections website. And all the information is there available for you. Also, your county board of elections, you can go to their website and get local information. Plus, they will have the link to the state website there also. So plenty of information out there if you have questions about it. But folks, the most important thing is to let you know that your vote does count. It's very important that you exercise that right.
But a lot of you did not.
Yeah, you did
I do want to, so, you know, we've had our primary, and yes, there's still, you know, some votes out there that still need to be counted, and maybe some runoffs are going to happen, and, you know, maybe throughout the state, a little bit of different things will change. But what's the next step? Before the general, the next step isn't to sit at home and wait to vote for your party.
Right.
Okay, that's not the next step. The next step is now you go out and you start pushing for these candidates that won.
Exactly.
Whichever you choose, you get behind them, you call up their office, you say, hey, can I, you know, put some signs out for you? Can I put some mailers out for you? You know, you start talking to friends and say, hey, 20% voted. Yeah. We need to get it at least to 45%.
Right.
Like, let's get it at least double it.
If it's you would just go in your neighborhood, walk around
just
the block
your
your neighborhood, and just get them involved. It would make a
we
big difference.
We don't want a repeat of the 2020. We need more voters.
Right.
We need more voters.
And
we absolutely
honest,
do.
Honest.
I know a lot of you out there are going to say, well, what's the difference? The election was stolen, and, you know, when you start talking about the election integrity, how do you combat that? Get involved. Be a poll watcher. Be an observer. Go out there. Look at what's going on. If you see something that doesn't look right, that's when you need to speak up. Right then. Not after the election's being called and you're throwing stuff at the TV and you're mad as fire because your man didn't win or woman. Mm-hmm. What you need to do is get involved with the process. Go and watch what's going on at the polls. If you see something going on, let somebody know. And don't be shy about it. If you have to, if you can't get anybody's attention there, call the election office and speak to the superintendent of elections. If you don't get what you want there, call the sheriff and say, look, I'm witnessing what I think is illegal activities here, because if it is a violation of election laws, it is illegal activity. And you can help to stop that and combat that. Good example. Denise DeSosa just came out with a movie, 2000 Mules, and it shows you exactly what happened. All these drop boxes where they were going and dropping hundreds or dozens of ballots at the time in the drop box of illegal votes, they have it on video. They have it tracked on cell phone. And some of those people are starting to confess and starting to turn state's witness and all. So it's out there. If you got enough eyes on it, enough people involved in it, you can stop it. At least you may intimidate somebody that was tempted to do something wrong.
That's right.
The question is, what good is that, this 2,000 mules, if nothing gets done?
Right. Well, see, that's because we're at a point where our justice system is so corrupt that nothing is being done to the actual criminals. They're being turned loose, scot-free, to go out and commit more crimes and do what they want to. But the more exposure you get, the more pressure people start putting on these officials. And I'm not talking about violence or threats or anything. I'm talking about your legal, constitutional, God-given rights. Demanding that they be upheld and protected because each one of those people, whether they're in the Justice Department or whatever branch of government they're serving in, they took an oath, an oath to uphold the Constitution. And if they're not doing that, they need to be held accountable and called out. Now, there are some good judges out there that still will uphold the law. There's a lot of them that are legislating from the bench. But they can be overwritten. You file the appeals, you go through the proper processes, and, well, Diane, you're the attorney. You know what it takes, and it takes people taking the first step. File for Freedom of Information Act information. Get your facts together. Take it and present it to an attorney. Yeah. Get it in the system. File charges, you know. When you're at the polls observing, now you can't do this on the inside. You can't go inside and film or video. But if you see activity going on outside, or if you live in a place where they do have these drop boxes on the street and you station yourself close to one, video what's going on there.
I think with the drop boxes, I think they should have someone manning the drop boxes.
But they didn't. And some of them, a lot of them in certain areas, all the cameras surrounding them were turned off.
Yeah. Now, you saw the 2,000 mules.
Yes.
Melissa, you saw it? Mm-hmm. What do you think? Did you think that was credible evidence?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I did too. But the left is saying that proves nothing.
Yeah, proves
nothing.
Yeah.
Well, they say that.
The safest, most honest election.
They say that when you catch them red-handed in the act, you know.
It just goes to show they have no concept of what's right and wrong, what's legal and what's illegal.
Right. Well, anybody got anything to wind up with?
Well, I do want to say what we were talking about, I mean, tying in with the elections, and you do not go out and find your candidate that believes in election integrity or believes that the justice system needs a lot of work, then that candidate is not going to get elected. If you didn't vote and put them up there, you don't have anything to say. You can't complain about it. Now, if you do find a candidate or find someone who just talks something great and suggests they run for office, you need to help push them, promote them, make sure your neighbors know about it and get them out and get those people in office. That's how your voice works.
All right.
That's how you just changed the course of history. Yeah. That's how you changed and set this nation on a path that fits your beliefs.
That's a true grassroots effort.
That's right. And it doesn't have to be large scale. I mean, I'm talking about make a list of 40 people. Call them and talk to them.
And go along with that. If you're not willing to step up and run yourself, but you think you know somebody that would be qualified and may be able to do a good job, and they're kind of reluctant, encourage them.
Yeah.
Talk to them. Yeah. Help them get past that fear and that first step.
Or call a representative, someone who's already in office, and say, hey, would you like to talk to them? Because they are always, I'm telling you, they are always looking for new people.
Absolutely.
They always are. And I tell you what, I would bet maybe even more than half, I'd bet higher than that, of the people who are elected in some type of office never thought they would be in an office, never thought they would be running a campaign, and someone came and said, hey, look, Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson.
I was getting ready to say, let me give you a prime example.
Yeah.
Here's somebody that was not a politician, had no ambition to be a politician or run for office. He went to a board meeting and stood up to speak against something they were doing to take away your constitutional right, right?
Yep.
And he spoke out about the Second Amendment. And at the time, he didn't even own a firearm. But he was wanting to protect everybody's right because it was a constitutional right, and this board was trying to take it away. So he stood up, and his speech was so passionate, it went viral on the internet.
Yep.
All right? We already told you, he went all across the state, little small towns, door to door. He blanketed the state. He spent all his time on the highway trying to meet and greet the voters out there and talk with them. And if you listen to his campaign speeches, every one of them was from the heart.
Oh, absolutely.
Not on a teleprompter, not on a notepad. It was just him speaking from the heart. So yeah. That shows you all you have to do. If you are standing for principles and what's right, go out and be you.
Yeah.
You know, there's no mold for a politician that's going to fit everybody. What you need to do is just be you. Yeah.
Be you. It is government by the people,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Sound like a human being.
Right.
Sound like
exactly.
An ordinary citizen, not like a politician.
Right.
Right.
The government gets their power from the people. They are not a separate entity of this, the government.
Right.
Doing this and that, we can take that power yeah. back.
Right. A lot of people
with 20%
that are
showing up, yeah, it ain't going
to
happen.
A lot of people that are involved in the process, they don't just go to one or two meetings. They'll go around to several, and they'll hear you speak several times. And if you've got the same elevator speech over and over and over.
Right.
That tunes you.
Yeah, there you go. All right,
sure.
Well, we're about to run out of time here. Before we do, I want to tell you about our Back to Blue event, which is Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Downtown New Bern. This is an annual event that CCTA puts on every year. We have Sheriff Asa Buck from Carteret County. We have Sheriff Chip Hughes from Craven County. We have Sheriff Davis from Pamlico County.
Yep.
Now, the problem is that may change at any time depending on activities that are going on, but there will be a representative from each of those sheriff's departments that come in, and the sheriff has been asked to sheriff's offices, I'm sorry, the sheriff has been asked from each of those counties to provide us with the names of officers that they feel like need to be recognized. We will be giving them certificates and recognizing them for their accomplishments and also their families. They sacrifice quite a bit also. And they will have a part of the K-9 team there to put on a K-9 demonstration. So we hope y'all will come out. It's always a very well-received event. We have a big crowd, and we need to just show them our support. And they put their lives on the line every day for us. We can take one evening and go out and show our support and love for them. And that's going to be Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, downtown at Stanley Hall Ballroom. It's free. It's open to the public. And there may be even a treat afterwards. Mm-hmm. So come down and join us. All right.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, we've enjoyed being with you today. We hope you'll come back and join us again next week. And go see our sponsors, please. Visit them. Tell them you heard about them on CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. J. Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.